Blog
hey,
Talk
good evening.
Radio.
Hey, good evening, and welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends. Today is the 23rd of September. Time right now is about 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And let me give you this brief. I'd like to introduce my host, my guest, but right after I give you this brief disclaimer. The next phase with Ice and Friends. Description, any comments or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio, or the guests, for that matter. This show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in the community can increase their abilities to acquire more income for themselves. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests, all these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments on occasion, interesting guests, of which I have one tonight, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. That's you. And you can give us a question or a comment simply by giving us a call. Write this number down, 347-945-7040, 347-945-7040. If you have an interest in improving situations for our youth, for instance, such as stemming incarceration estimates for minority members in this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact in our community, or investigating the best possible means for boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many other pertinent topics too numerous to include, please feel free to join us right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. That's heard Thursdays, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll be right back to introduce our host, a young man that I'm sure you're going to be very well pleased with, very knowledgeable in the music field. And if you want to give us a call again to stump this host, because he has a tremendous amount of knowledge, especially in regard to music, and I'm sure it extends farther than our culture, but especially in the African-American genre, then just give us a call, 347-945-7040. Be right back with our guest right after this.
Make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street. But not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's slow. They follow each other on the wind, and know, cause they got nowhere
call through, and Brother T.L. Harris, who is a music aficionado, well versed in music history. And I've met this young man over the last several years that I've been online, and he, in addition to many other individuals that I've met, very interesting individuals, and I just hope that all my friends know that they are more than welcome anytime to give us a call, come through, and we'll have a discussion about pretty much whatever their expertise, whatever their strong feelings are about, and it would be more than a delight for me to have them also featured here. And as soon as Brother T.O. Harris gives us a call through, we'll put him on the line. But as always, I have to do a little bit of work here to make sure that I have something, because sometimes we run into technical difficulties and all those different types of things, and I think we all understand that. No matter what we try to do, there's always going to be some minor impositions in a lot of instances. And one of the things that are several different topics that I saw that were of interest to me, and one of the topics was I found it on the Loop 21, and I'm not sure if I do quite a considerable amount of browsing through the Loop 21. They are they have a real interesting. There he is. Okay, hold on. Let me put Brother Harris on right now. Let me see here. There we go. Kind of rusty on guests. Brother T.L., did you make it?
I'm right here.
I knew you'd make it through, brother. I was just trying to hold the line until you could get it through there. How you doing today?
I'm doing very good. Thank you, Patterson. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Very well. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here. And as all you know, you're welcome. You come through here anytime you give it. Just let me know, or if you just want to drop in or whatever. And we got a lot of friends that we frequently chat with. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and each one has their different strengths, and yours is extremely interesting and entertaining for me, and I just really appreciate you, brother. It's been a joy to know you and listen to you, and I'm chatting, so I'm just trying to, give you a chance to kind of get ready to do whatever you want to do, because I can go.
Well, I appreciate it very much. First of all,
I appreciate you, sir. That's you.
That's just, music history is always something that has been fascinating to me. And it's just a wonderful, I'll put it like this. It's something that we have to embrace,
right,
as part of our past, as much as we do politics and things of that nature, because it's a part of who we are and what we've done and the major significant role that we've played in this country. So it's a huge part of that.
Right.
And it's just... something that I happen to take a great deal of interest in.
Absolutely, yeah. And I heard you. Our sister Miss Twinkles ask you about the possibility of you penning a book or something to that effect.
that's
the accumulation of the facts and experiences that you. And the weird thing about it, I'm not going to tell anybody until the very end, if you choose to, and I won't even tell them then, but for you to have amassed the amount of knowledge that you have, I am thoroughly impressed and very much humbled and appreciative. I just want you to know that, and honored always to be in your presence, brother. But you bring a lot to the table. But anyway, Miss Twinkles had asked if you were going to pen a book now about some of the history that you have available to you and that you've accumulated over these years. Have you had any interest in that?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that was a day or two before the whole Tammy Terrell Unsung on TV1 came on.
Oh, okay.
And that, is what led to that particular question. But to answer, it's something that I definitely have thought about, But here's my thought process behind it. A lot of the information that I have, you know, I definitely got from somewhere else. I read from another book.
Absolutely.
And you know, just that insatiable appetite to learn and to, you know, to gather as much information as possible.
Right.
Now, if I were going to do something like that, my goal would be to do something comprehensive on someone or a particular section of the music industry that has not been told yet. And there are a great deal of stories that haven't been told yet. And I do have my eye on a couple. So, you know, it is definitely not out of the realm of possibility. And if I get, you know, everything I need here pretty soon, I'm definitely going to, you know, make the appropriate steps to go in that direction.
Well, you know, I want to tell you this, that to whatever degree, and to whatever stage of development that you find yourself in, you're always welcome here regardless. And we can talk about it. We can talk any issues or topics that you choose to talk about. Because, you know me, I'm pretty much into politics and you know, social things. And you know, what struck me was whenever I was listening to you, how that I could, you know, I would be listening to you and the things that you were talking about as the progression of music, you know, that and you just go from place to place. You can go as progression. You can go at any intermediate developments along the way in music, and that's what's so interesting. But in each one of those aspects, I felt there was some politics that could be involved in that, but I will not detract you and get into a political conversation. You know, whatever you choose or want to talk about, and as far as music goes, I know one. Tell me what one of your favorite guys is. You and is it, who is it? Detroit Poet. Y'all have a running feud about this.
Detroit Poet, who is extremely bright, very intelligent.
Right.
You know, both of us have a pretty extensive music knowledge.
Okay.
But we just have a difference of opinion, that's all. Now my opinion is the greatest singer in Motown history, you know, the one that I've come across is Levi Stubbs of the Four Tops.
Right.
I have yet to come across a voice, a power such as Levi. And
right, okay.
And his argument is the greatest singer that he's ever come across at Motown is Marvin Gaye. And, you know, Marvin Gaye, of course, being the crown prince of Motown, and I'm not taking anything away from Marvin. I think Marvin was a wonderful singer. I think Marvin, and if you ask me, I think his best output was his material in the 60s. I love Marvin's 60s output for Motown Records. But for my money, and I've said this to Detroit Poet 1,000 times, just like he's told me about Marvin Gaye 1,000 times, but for my money, I will say that Levi Stubbs is the greatest singer that Motown ever produced. Hey, the city of Detroit, for that matter, and that's saying a lot because there were so many, many great singers that came out of the city of Detroit. But Levi Stubbs, second to none.
Well, can you? What group was he associated with? He wasn't a solo singer, right?
No. Levi Stubbs was the lead singer for the Four Tops. I Can't Help Myself, Baby, I Need Your Lovin'. Reach Out, I'll Be There, Ask the Lonely, Ain't No Woman Like the One I've Got, and When She Was My Girl. I mean, you're asking a diehard Four Tops fan, so, you know, this list can go on for quite a minute. But definitely one of the great voices of all time.
You know, let me, I just want to interrupt just for one second. Don't lose that train of thought. My dear sister, India Declare, just came in the chat room. D-Rockin' Your World is in the chat room. And you all are welcome to join us either by phone, in the chat room, whichever. And if you just go to Blog Talk Radio, www.blackice.com and type in Black Ice. It'll take you to the show. And let me give the number right quick, T.L. Harris, please. 347-945, 347-945-7040. And Sister Indy Declare says she's tipping a bit tardy. No, you never tardy, sis. You never tardy. I tell you, she's one of the most dynamic voices in talk radio, as far as I'm concerned, on Blog Talk Radio especially, and far beyond that. She has talents that far surpass, to my idea, any of the radio that you hear in a corporate media or whatever. She is one of the most wonderful and vibrant voices that I've ever heard in radio, and very well researched. But Sister Indy Declare, this is my dear brother. Yeah, 347-945-7040, and you're very welcome to call in if you choose to. But my dear brother, T.L. Harris, he's a fellow Texan, and he's down around the metro. I won't give his area, his exact location, but he's down around the metro, down around Dallas-Fort Worth area, somewhere like that, right, Brother T.L.?
Right.
But and we were just kind of no. You know, Brother T.L., let me say, and I'm, please excuse me, forgive me, but you know you're welcome anytime to come back. But the thing that I want to say is that there are several voices on Blog Talk Radio. Miss Quiet Storm, Alpha, Navazor One, and my dear sister Indy Declare. She's on at 10 a.m. CST, Central Standard Time, every day, Monday through Saturday. But Brother T.L. Harris, and I wanted you to know that people hear you. Trust me, people hear you. You know, more than a lot of people may think. But brother, if you were talking about Levi Stubbs, lead singer for the Four Tops, and then we were juxtaposing him to Detroit Poets. Preference, who is Marvin Gaye, one of the most dynamic ballad guys, you know, and he was a very, he was really a political singer in a way. Am I right? And he had some degree of influence in the '60s, especially in regard to, you know, what's going on and some of that kind of thing. Whereas the Four Tops, to me, were they very political or more romantic balladeers type guys?
That's a very good question. Well, I think everybody knows about how political Marvin Gaye was. I mean,
right.
You know, it started, this is what I don't think a lot of people realize with Marvin Gaye. And in the story I'm about to tell, there is definitely a Four Tops Marvin Gaye connection with what's going on, and I'll get into that in a minute. But to answer your question, Marvin was very political because Marvin, he was an artist in the true sense of the word. He was a guy that felt something or felt an injustice or felt that, you know, there was something that he wanted to say about it, but he had to do it in the only way he knew how, which was to express himself musically. And what we got as a result of that was What's Going On, which was probably one of the first outright statements about not just Black Americans felt, but all Americans felt at that time. And the thing about Marvin is he was another person with this particular album who touched on so many sociological, political situations in this country. He went from dealing with the war and protests to dealing with the children and the earth. I mean, Marvin really, really stretched out in that classic album. Now, the Four Tops connection to What's Going On is very interesting. The roots of the song, What's Going On itself, started in San Francisco in Ashbury in 1968, and the Four Tops had just done a show there, and a young man by the name of Obie Benson was watching outside of his window as the police were beating these particular students for protesting. And it troubled him greatly. So he, in his hotel room, decided to sit down and write something because it just didn't sit right with him. So he continued, you know, to finish this work that he was, you know, perfecting. And once he finished it, you know, once he thought he got it to where he wanted to share it, he took this particular work to the Four Tops. Saying, hey, guys, you know, we should record this. Do you feel like we want to record this? And the Four Tops, as a group, you know, being a democracy, you know, voting on what they believe they should do, Obi was actually voted down. So he took the song to John Baez, you know, who was very famous for her political activism and her social work in the 1960s.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
As you know, as her song, you know, talked about as well. Well, he took the song to Joan Baez, and she turned it down.
Wow.
And he took the song to, Obi did, took the song to several other people, and he finally said, you know, hey, Marvin, I have this thing that I'm working on. I want, will you take a look at it? So Marvin took a look at it, got with another Motown songwriter by the name of Al Cleveland, the late Al Cleveland, and said, hey, man, I think we can work and do something with this. And so Al, Obi, and Marvin got together and finished this particular work, and the work happened to be What's Going On. So anytime you look at the song, or if you're online, and you're just looking at your normal CD covers, because just about every greatest hits compilation that Marvin Gaye's ever done has What's Going On. But when you look at the songwriting credits, you'll see three names. You'll see M. Gaye for Marvin Gaye, A. Cleveland for Al Cleveland, and R. Benson for Ronaldo Benson, who is an original member of the Four Tops. And because he wrote that song in 68 in Asbury Park, Ronaldo Benson is the original songwriter of What's Going On.
Wow, wow.
So there is definitely a Four Tops connection to the song.
Wow.
But now, to answer your question as far as the Four Tops being political, and again, I think this is something that people don't realize about the Four Tops. They were political. They were not radical, but they were political. I can point to an album. And it's interesting that you asked me this question because my favorite 70s Four Tops album is an album they released in 1974 called Meeting of the Minds. And on Meeting of the Minds was a song that they released called Right On Brother. And it spoke to, you know, us as a society. Taking care of one another and treating everybody as we should. And there was another song, I don't think it was on Meeting of the Minds. I'll have to do some research to remember what album it was on, but they did another song, Am I My Brother's Keeper?
Oh, okay.
You know, once again, it was a very good song, and it's very easy to find on YouTube, but it's a wonderful song. And again, it talks about community. And people forget, you know, Keeper of the Castle in 1972.
Right.
Keeper of the Castle was somewhat of a political statement about, you know, the black man taking care of the black family.
Oh, man. You know, I never got into that like that.
Absolutely. So you know, you have to, you know, give the Four Tops credit that, you know, they did it as well, but they just weren't. And I think a lot of that came from the fact that the Four Tops didn't write the songs themselves.
Oh, okay.
Played a part in it. But they recorded some great songs that had a very political and social message, a sociological message.
Right.
So,
you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you. But,
no,
you
go
know,
ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, the thing of it is, Brother T.L. Harris is a guest on Black Ice and Friends. And in the chat room, D-Rock Your World, my dear sister, Miss India Declare, my dear sister, Miss Navazar One, and they each each one of those two, Miss India declares on daily at 10 a.m. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. And she has one of the most dynamic and most informative and inspiring shows that you'll ever get a chance to hear. And the context of Sister Navazar is a little bit different, but it's nevertheless very dynamic, and it's a wonderful show. And it's on Sister Navazar. You got to put that in here for me so I have it. I always mess up and not have my notes with me. But anyway, right now we have Mr. T.O. Harris, and he's providing us with information and history in regard to the music industry, especially culturally, of African descent. And we were speaking about the impact of the Four Tops versus, because Brother T.O. Harris is one of his favorite artists, I believe, is Mr. Levi Stubbs of the Four Tops. And we were debating a person who is in abstentia. I mean, I was not really debating, but comparing the two, Marvin Gaye, one of the most prolific writers and influential balladeers of our era, and the difference in their styles and their presentations. But nevertheless, they all brought it with power and with a very dynamic and forceful style, and they had a tremendous impact to me socially on us all. And we absolutely, groups that come to mind immediately, groups that we could never forget, and probably can remember different times that we heard some of the songs that they sang. But what I was thinking about is that the Four Tops, I always looked at them, you know, more as an entertaining group. My opinion of Marvin Gaye changed because initially when I first heard him was back in the days with My Sharia Moore and Tammy Terrell, you know, Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, that era.
My Sharia Moore was that was Stevie Wonder.
That was Stevie Wonder. What was that song that Marvin Gaye did?
Pride and Joy.
Pride and Joy.
Hitchhike.
Yeah,
Wonderful
yeah.
One.
Wonderful One. That was
yeah.
it. That was it.
Yeah.
You are my one. You know, from that was the era that I came in. And this is what's so amazing for me and astonishing is that I came up during that era, and I have no knowledge of it. And you are, I'm not going to say how old you are, but you have a tremendous knowledge of it. And you know, it's real interesting to see, you know, how did the impact that this had on you. And I sit up and wonder how did it happen to you that way. But I won't you know bother you with that. But
that doesn't bother me. As a matter of fact, it's probably one of the most asked questions that I've been asked as it pertains to this, and it also gives me the chance to clear up a misconception. What started me in this particular process is my grandfather. When I was very, very young,
okay.
I would spend a lot of time with him, and
right.
wanting to be very, very close to my grandfather. You know, when I would spend some time with him from the time I was maybe 2.5 years old, he was listening to Johnny Taylor, ZZ Hill. Little Milton,
right,
and Tyrone Davis. So those were the big five. Those were the first five people that really, really got me sort of hooked into this music thing.
And the
misconception it gives me a chance to clear up is my favorite artist of all time.
Right.
Is actually Johnny Taylor. You know,
Everybody
assumes it's the Four Tops because I talk about the Four Tops a lot. So my favorite guy to this day is Johnny Taylor.
Right, right.
I was the first person, the first two artists I ever heard or remember hearing in my head when I was a child was Johnny Taylor and ZZ Hill. So you know, Johnny Taylor. I mean, I you know, it sounds funny for me to say this. I'm not going to tell how old I'm because it doesn't bother me. I recently turned 29 years old. So in the early 80s, from the time I could walk, all I heard was Johnny Taylor. So you know, and to this day, you know, I know just as much about Johnny Taylor as I do about the Four Tops. You know how he got his start singing in West Memphis, Arkansas, and how he moved on to Chicago and started singing with the Highway QCs. Before that, he stayed with a group called the Five Echoes, and after the Highway QCs, he sang with the Soul Stirrers. He was the man that actually replaced Sam Cooke in the group.
Get out of here.
Johnny Taylor replaced. If you've ever heard those old gospel songs, When the Gates Swing Open, starts out, you know, through the years I keep on toiling through the storm and rain. That's
uh-huh.
Johnny Taylor.
Yeah, okay.
The Love of God
Whoa.
Guides Me Along My Way. That's Johnny Taylor.
Wow.
Stand By Me, Father, you know, that the Soul Stirrers recorded. That
right,
was Johnny
right.
Taylor. 2 years after the Soul Stirrers, no, it wasn't 2 years, because Johnny left the group in 57, I believe. But about 4 years after Johnny left the group, there were a couple of songwriters who changed a few of the words around to Stand By Me, Father, and it became Stand By Me, a big hit for Benny King in 1961.
That's
so,
where it came from.
Yes,
wow.
It came from Stand By Me, Father, by the Soul Stirrers.
Okay.
So, and of course, after that, you know, Sam Cooke had his own record label, SRW Records. One of the first people he recruited to sing for his label was Johnny Taylor.
Let me
so,
ask you, can I bug you right quick?
Sure.
All right. Now, I was listening to you one night, and you were talking about, and see, this is weird, man. This is where it starts going into politics. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were talking one night about, I think it was Sam Cooke, who wanted to, he wanted, what was it you said, his masters or something like that you were talking about, or am I wrong? But
Sam
he
wanted to control his publishing.
Hmm? He wanted to control, okay, now, would you just tell me previously, how had artists been promoted and you know, how have they been, what do you call it, you know, whenever the producers get the record companies get them, he changed the dynamic, didn't he? If
you
I'm
know,
correct,
I,
and,
I'm so glad you said that because,
okay.
And I have to say this about Sam Cooke, and I was hoping that you'd give me a segue to say this. Sam Cooke, every young black artist. Every black artist in the last, well, any artist that didn't come out of Sam's generation should be thanking God a Sam Cooke existed. Because we all know, I know you know, but, you know, and I'm not saying that you have to be people of a certain age, because there's a young lady in Mississippi who, when it comes to her Sam Cooke knowledge, will beat me under the table.
Really?
So, absolutely. And she's younger than I am. So, but the thing about Sam he was the guy that did it first on a large scale. Like when I said Sam owned his own publishing company, Tags Music. You know, Sam was the first to think, you know, if my record gets played and I only get an artist royalty, and I don't even know if at that time we were getting an artist royalty, they were just getting paid to sing on the session. And the way that worked was just because it was a quote-unquote Sam Cooke song, because Sam Cooke was singing on it, Sam Cooke didn't get any more than the drummer that played on the record. Or he didn't get as much as the piano player, because in the producer's eyes, he was no more important than a drummer, a piano player,
wow.
a trumpet player, or whatever. Well, Sam said, hey, I have to figure out the best way for me to get as much money as possible because I'm the one that's singing the song. So what Sam started to do was Sam started to write and produce his own music. And that in and of itself was groundbreaking because you didn't have artists that wrote their own songs. You didn't have artists that arranged their own songs. You know, they may have written the song, but they always had an outside producer come in to you know, sweeten the song or do whatever they needed to the song.
Right.
And Sam changed that whole perspective. You know, Sam was the guy that you know, he was the guy that just did what he needed to do.
Right.
So,
right.
And that's what you have to give Sam credit for.
Right.
Changed that because he wrote the songs, he produced the songs, and he paid for the session.
Wow.
So because he paid for it, guess what? He owned it. And because the songs were under his publishing company, he got the publisher's royalty. So not only that, but if Sam wrote the song, he got the songwriter's royalty. Sam was thinking light years ahead of anybody else.
And that's what
you have to give Sam credit for.
What did it to him? What made him? You know, now, you know, my thought is that, you know, me and my curious mind is how did he get to that point? I mean, you know, why should he not is what I should be asking. Why shouldn't every artist have thought that? But I'm sure that it was not, that to me wouldn't have been based on your culture or your ethnicity. That was just the way the business ran back in those days. And this guy was so innovative that he determined that why should he allow these middle guys to eat up his resources, and he could just go from his creation to marketing his product.
And what you just said was exactly his thought process.
Man.
Why should I pay anybody else to do something that I know I can do myself? And the first album that Sam produced on his own was Nightbeat. Nightbeat is probably his best album. It's one of the more legendary albums of all time.
Right.
And you know, that was the first work that he did where he was the guy in charge. He was the guy that was in control. So, and you see how it turned out. It's a legendary album.
You know, now listen, I'm you're making me do some I'm really trying to bite my lip here, but what I'm thinking about, how old was he when he died? What happened? He got shot, right?
You know what? You need a whole other show for that one.
you know, you're welcome anytime.
I'll just say that it was alleged.
Right. Okay.
That Sam Cooke was at a Los Angeles motel, $3 a night hotel, with a prostitute.
Right,
and
the prostitute
tried to steal his money.
Right.
And somehow he wound up shot and killed. I say alleged because, you know, that is the story that has been given over the years. However, that's not the story that's been believed. And you have a lot of people who have a lot of different conspiracies as to what happened to Sam Cooke. And leave it to me to throw this into the fire. I'm gonna put it to you like this. Sam Cooke was 33 years old when he was killed.
33 years old.
Sam Cooke had his own publishing company. Sam Cooke was running his own record label.
Get out of here,
Sam
man.
Sam Cooke was controlling. Not only that, he was also getting the back royalties. He got his back royalties from RCA from 58 to 61, or however it was. It totaled in the amount of $100,000 or something along those lines. So wow. he got the money that he was owed by RCA, and he was doing his own thing. So I want to say about six or seven months before Sam was killed, Sam had just completed the biggest show in his life, which was at the Copacabana in July of 1964.
Mm. You know what I'm and thinking, don't was, you?
Oh, I know what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're thinking. And let me tell you something. You are not the only one. Because, look, how is it that you have a man who is easily becoming not the most powerful black man, but the most powerful man in the music industry? You see what I'm saying?
Woo.
And Sam, put it to you like this, the closest person that had the type of control that Sam had was Paul
right.
Anka. For those who remember who Paul Anka was.
Yeah.
Paul Anka did not have the control that Sam had. I'm thinking how tough Sam was. Sam had the presence of mind to create a one conglomerate that had all of his companies in it. It was called, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going off memory here, I believe it was Tracy Limited. And
wow.
And he had his record label, he had his publishing company. He had, I think a production company or something along those lines, all under this umbrella, so that if something should happen to him, that he could pass this down to his family. Because one thing Sam said, I thought was interesting. I don't want white hands to get the money that I work for after I'm gone.
Wow.
That's what Sam said, and this is. Sam died, it'll be, 46 years in December.
Mm.
December 11th, 1964 is when this happened, when his death occurred. But Sam
right.
was thinking so far ahead of time that he wanted, number one, his family to be taken care of.
Wow.
I mean, you know, that if something should happen to him. Who thinks like that at the age of 33? Who is
a lot
that
of people.
More progressive
a lot
at,
of people.
At that age?
TL, sorry, I'm going to interrupt you right quick, if you don't mind.
Mm.
Do you mind, brother? If not, I'll shut up.
No.
And I don't want to interrupt your thought process. But, you know, I tell you this. This is what I heard just this year, right, is that Michael was dead a year, right? I can't remember when the anniversary of his death was. But he was dead.
June
25th?
June 25th,
yes. All right. Do you know how much, do you remember hearing, I'm sure you know, how much he made in that year's time? After his death.
I heard it was somewhere along the lines of $1 billion.
That's exactly what I heard. One, after his death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know Sam has made money. And this man, you know, the music industry, it like I said, I could leapfrog into a lot of things, but I'm just saying that it's scary. It's scary, that industry, because you got these phenomenal individuals. And I really, you know, I want to ask you, but I don't want to get you out of sequence. I really want to ask you about Otis Redding, because that's really weird. You know, these guys, they just up and die in around their 30s and 40s or whatever, you know, right in the prime of their life, just up and die, just, you know, just poof, they're just gone. And all their resources, you know, I don't know who gets their resources, but that's when they began to really make money. You know, Elvis made a lot of money since he's been gone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these guys have made a lot of money since they've been. Now, you know, one of the other guys to me that's one of the most business savvy guys that I've heard of is Prince.
Right. And, well, wait a minute. Prince, I would call Prince a lot of things. I would call him a musical genius. I would call him way ahead of his time musically. I would call him progressive. I would not call Prince business savvy. I think Prince as avant-garde and as progressive as he is musically, it's different.
Right.
When it comes to business with him.
Okay.
And you know, I just think that for him to be as talented as he is, and he's still making music. Prince is what, about 53 now?
Yeah, dude's right behind me, man.
Mhm. Mhm. And you know, I'll give you an example, and this is because we're at a time right now where music, especially music, movies, and such, are hitting a digital age.
Right.
You can now, from your cell phone, download movies and music.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, Prince recently said something along the lines of he is refusing to release his latest CD to sites like iTunes.
Yeah.
Or any file sharing and downloading site. He will not allow his image or his music to be displayed on YouTube. And to my understanding, it's because he believes that the internet or the internet media takes your soul. So the only way you can buy his album is if you physically get in your car, go to a record store and buy it. And for that reason,
right,
he will not sell a lot of records. Because we're getting to a point where in the last 20 years or since the advent of the mainstream CD, when you could just physically go into a store and buy it. Since vinyl became so unpopular. CD sales have hit an all-time low in the last 25 years. But this is the format that Prince wants to release his material. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's wrong. But as a business move, that's not good judgment.
Yep.
Because most people are not going, you know, if I can sit here and do this interview with you and download a Prince song or a Four Top song for that matter if I wanted to, then I can do that because, you know, my phone will allow me to do so.
Right.
But another thing. Okay, let me put it to you like this. If Sam Cooke were alive today and Sam Cooke was making, new music or old music and 10 years ahead of the advances that the internet made, he saw it first and was one of the first people to say, put my music online and let them buy it that way. Because that's the kind of mind Sam had then.
Right.
He was able to see
for
what it was before it happened and make it happen.
Right.
And think about how much more Sam's estate would be worth now if he were allowed to engineer that project.
Right. But you know,
Prince,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Prince is doing it backwards. Instead of embracing the technology, Prince is saying, well, this is not good. And he's looking at it from an artistic standpoint, if you want to call it that.
Right.
That's all fine and well. But
right.
If you're in this to make a living as you have, you don't want to go back to the days of Sam Cooke or Lloyd Price or the Clovers or any of the groups like that where you made your money strictly by touring. You know, because when Sam, in Sam's time, you didn't make money from the record industry or the record company. You may have gotten, you may have had to sell two records to make a penny.
So,
you know, your money was made on the road. And once you paid, your roadies and once you paid your band and once whatever you had left, that was yours.
Now try living
on that, 24/7, 365.
Right.
If you can find a way to make it easier on yourself, then do so. And that's one of the things that we were talking about the Four Tops earlier. One thing I admire about Duke Fakir, who is the last surviving member of the group, is, and Otis Williams, who's the last surviving member of the Temptations. The reason they're working now, the reason they're touring now, is for no other reason than they want to. If they retired today, if they said, I have spent my last day on the road, they are well taken care of and will not have to work another day in their life. That's how well set up or well structured their business was. The Four Tops
right.
as a business, or the Temptations as a business. And the way Prince is going, because he's refusing the amount of money that can be made by going into such a venture, he's leaving a lot of money on the table.
Right.
As a matter of fact, let me tell you, I'm just say this real quick.
No, it's no problem.
Let me tell you how progressive Sam Cooke was. Bobby Womack was a member of a group called the Valentinos.
Okay.
And they were his brothers. I think Bobby had four other brothers. And they came out with a song called It's All Over Now. Well, this very young, this unknown British group came over from England, heard It's All Over Now, and decided to record it. And Bobby Womack went to Sam, said, man, these cats, they recorded my record. They messed up my record. I can't stand it. He hated their version of his record. I can't believe they're doing it. They're doing it to my song. I can't believe it. Sam said, wait a minute. Let me tell you something about these guys. The best thing that will ever happen to you is these guys recording your song. I see it. These guys are going to be big. These guys are going to be the future. Let them record your song, and you sit back and you make the money as songwriter of the song. The group that recorded his song that came over from England,
mm-hmm.
that nobody knew yet,
mm-hmm.
was the Rolling Stones.
Get out of here, man.
The Rolling Stones were the ones that covered It's All Over Now, and their version is considered a classic.
Mm.
So every time today you hear on an oldies station or an oldies pop station, an oldies top 40 station or whatever,
mm-hmm.
anytime you hear It's All Over Now,
mm-hmm.
Bobby Womack is walking to the bank or to the record company to get his check. Sam Cooke did not live to see the Rolling Stones become what they became, because he died in 1964.
Right, right.
He didn't live to see them have that first commercial first. He didn't live to see Satisfaction. But yet and still had enough foresight to say, Bobby, you're not going to regret the fact that these guys recorded your song, because they're going to be huge. And now imagine Sam Cooke taking that kind of foresight into today's technology. What Sam would be doing, I'm going to tell you something right now, and I truly, truly, truly believe this. I believe Sam, had he lived, would have been bigger than Dick Clark. I think that it just would have been a wonderful thing. Hold on for just one second, and I'll be right back.
Sure. What we're doing is having a conversation with Mr. T.L. Harris. Mr. T.L. Harris is a music history aficionado, and you're listening to Black Ice and the next phase with Ice and Friends. And today we deviated from our general political conversations, and we're looking into something music history. And from time to time, we will be deviating, going into different topics, different areas. And I really appreciate you joining us. And I really appreciate in the chat room, D-Rock Your World, D-Rock in Your World, and guest 3614, my dear sister, Miss India DeClaire. And let me say that she is one of the most dynamic voices in radio today, in my opinion, and a phenomenal, I would say, commentator, reporter, whatever you might say. She has a different spin on the articles that you hear in corporate media, which is tremendously riveting, very interesting. And I'm so appreciative to have had the honor of making her acquaintance on Blog Talk Radio, and she is a just a lovely personality. Her shows are heard right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can look them up under India Declare Show, India Declare. And it's daily, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Saturday. And also, I'd like to say that dear sister Navazor One is in the chat room also. Navazor One has her site is www.blogtalkradio.com/Navazor, /navazor1/2010/9/19/less-talk-1. And I'll run that by you one more time. Make sure you got it. I hope you get a chance to listen to it. All you have to do is come on Blog Talk Radio and type in Navazor1, N-A-V-A-X-O-R-1, and it will take you to her page, and you can listen to her archive shows, as well as she'll have a show. Her shows come on generally Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And some of the other individuals that Sis, y'all could help me out if Sister India Declare Navazor, if I miss anybody. I know Alpha OCG. I always mess up her name. But anyway, OCG Truth Network. You can come on a Blog Talk Radio and type in the search area for Truth Network, and you'll find her show. And there are some other shows that I'm sure I'm missing, but the ones that I'm most familiar with are My Dear Sis India Declares on Daily. That's like tomorrow at 10, and I hope to be there because I'll be off tomorrow. But I'll be working weekends, so I'll miss it. I'm back on my regular schedule, so I'll have to catch it on archive for the rest of the time. But if you're at home and if you're looking tired of looking at the corporate media and all of those fat cats who don't tell you the real news, all they do is parrot each other, and you really want to hear what my dear sis calls spiritedly the real raw right now, then you don't want to miss India Declare Show daily, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Saturday. And also for a different take on radio, a different take on entertainment is Navazor. Navazor has a wonderful show also, and it's heard generally on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can look her up by coming on Blog Talk Radio and typing in the search engine there, Navazor1. I'd like to express my appreciation for you joining us right here on Ice and Friends, the next phase with Ice and Friends. Heard Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Also, Brother Alpho, A-L-F-O, Alpho. And he is, and I'll read some of the things that are being said in the chat room here in just a second, but Brother Alpho has a very, very unique Truth Networks. Thank you, Navazor. www.blogtalk.com. Truth Networks, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I believe if you just type in Truth Networks, it'll get you to Brother Alpha and also the lady, OCG. I can't think of her name right offhand. But anyway, she does a wonderful show, has a beautiful and dear, Sister India has a blog, and I'm not sure that Sister India, you're going to put your blog site in there so I can talk about it. And why, Brother T.L. Harris, are you back yet? Okay, he had to step away for a moment. But anyway, what I'm doing is trying to introduce you to some more individuals, some voices. We are different than your regular corporate media. We give you, what I give you is the black spin, B-L-A-K, black spin. But, and I hope that it's worth your while, because we get into different approaches, different perspectives on different issues. And Sister India definitely gives you the real raw right now. If you ever get a chance to hear her, please don't pass it up. And again, that's daily, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Saturday. And I believe Brother T.L. Harris made it back.
Okay. Yes, I did.
No problem. And appreciate you coming back. And what we were talking about, if you want to give us a call and challenge Brother T.L. Harris's music history, All you have to do is give us a call. Hey, bro, you know I'm gonna mess with you. You know how I am. Yeah, I can't help it,
oh,
man.
Oh, you know, and it's funny because people do that, and when they do that, I will be the first one to tell them, as I do all the time.
I look it up and I get back with you, right?
I'll tell them I'll be the first one to tell you I do not know everything. and which is true, that I really don't, because there's a young man in Oregon. His name is Colt Thomas. He made me go back and do some more research that I thought I'd already done. So I completely understand, you know. And like I said, I'll be the first one to tell you I don't know everything.
Right. So. You know, modesty is beautiful, man. It's absolutely, it's a wonderful thing. And since now is our type, let me just give you a flavor of what's happening in the chat rooms. Dina Harbor, Women Obtaining Wealth, Ms. Dina Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Women Obtaining Wealth, and that was from Sister Indy Declare. Hey, Brother TL, if you ever get a chance to check out Sister Indy Declare on Blog Talk Radio, please take advantage of that opportunity. I think you'll be wonderfully inspired and enchanted and informed, because it is a very different, it's a breath of fresh air in media. Because, like I say, when you listen to the stale media every day, day and day, and they don't give you our perspective. These guys, they're not going to tell you the way we look and think about things. They're not going to tell you interesting information as you've done, because everything is commercial. I mean, and you know, we, not that we would turn down commercial interest, not at all, but we don't want to be controlled by commercial interest. We want to have that levity, that latitude to provide a different slant, a different perspective, and hopefully keep it, the airways, a little bit fresher, a little bit different. Because, like I say, all the friends that I know, like D-Rock and Your World, you know, I'm not going to put a business out here on the line, but she's very involved with working with youth, and we had previously had a sister up front in Blunt, and I'd asked some other gentlemen, you know, I'd hoped Brother Ola was going to come through tonight and speak about some of the involvements that he's had, and I've asked any number of individuals to you know, be a part, but I tell you, Brother T.L. Harris, you have a standing invitation to be here. But Sister Annie was saying, what was she saying? Talking about Sister Dina Harbor, and her show is Women Obtaining Wealth. And I think that's essential to, you know, the women. And that's one topic that we hadn't touched on, Brother T.L., and I'm sure that you have some information about some of the women artists, right? Miss Quiet Storm, thank you for joining us. She has a show. Quiet Storm, would you please put your show date in here, if you don't mind? Brother T.L. Harris, you might know Sister Quiet Storm, you know, from the chat room, from the chat site that we frequent.
Right.
And she has a beautiful show also. Again, I'll just say D-Rock in Your World, Sister Indy Declare, my dear sis, big sis. And I may be older than her, but she's sharper, so I have to bow to her wisdom and knowledge and expertise. And where did Miss Quiet, she took off. I guess she came in and spoke, and I appreciate her coming through. And she has a show on, so if you want to just look up Miss Quiet, there she is back. Welcome back, Miss Quiet Storm. Miss Quiet, Quiet Storm. And if you'll put your show in, I'll pass the information along. But right now, I've interrupted Brother T.L., 6 minutes past 8 p.m., 8:06 right here in the Big Star State of Texas. How about that, T.L. Harris? Is that where we are, brother, in the state, Big Star State of Texas?
State of Texas.
And it's cooling off out here in West Texas. How about down that way around the metro?
It is finally cooling off.
Okay.
We just a break, yes.
But when you left, you were, you know, would you finish your thought, but would you talk about some of the women that were involved in music, and if you have some information in regard to the innovations that they brought, and I sure would appreciate it. How about that? Would that work?
It's fine by me. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and finish your thought.
I just said this one person I'm going to start out when it comes to women in music.
Right.
Since they recently, you know, did a show on TV One on this particular person, let me talk about Tammy Terrell.
All right. Oh, man. Now,
I'm going to tell you something. First of all, before I get into that, let me say to a dear friend of mine who was in the episode, Mr. Weldon McDougall, who's currently under the weather at the moment, but hopefully I'm wishing him a speedy recovery.
Are we going to get a chance to visit with him sometime?
I hope so. I'm telling you, he is one of the more interesting people you'll ever have on your show if you get a chance to have him.
I want you to do the interview.
Well, if you come, I will definitely do my best, but you just have to give him some time to recover
right.
Get himself together. And, if he's able to, I will definitely love to do that. But if anybody saw the show Unsung, the way Weldon is or was on that show is the way he is when he talks to you in person. He's just a very upfront, but very honest, you know, gentleman.
Right.
He really
right.
is. He's a very good guy, and I wish him all the best, you know.
Hey, we'll be also sending blessings to him and his family and wish them a speedy recovery. Prayers are.
Thank you very much. I'll let him know, definitely. But Tammy Terrell, I mean, my God, what a voice, first of all. And I marvel at all that she was able to do in her 24 years. She died a month before her 25th birthday.
Wow.
And I don't know
25th birthday,
that.
Man? Come on, for real?
Yes, she died a month before her 25th birthday.
And
everybody talks about her career on Motown, but let me just put it in perspective. Her career on Motown, because she signed a contract, April 29th, 1965, which makes that on her 20th birthday. That's when she signed a contract with Motown. A month shy of 5 years later, she was gone.
Wow. Dang.
And she never released a solo album. She released solo singles, but she never released a solo single in her lifetime on Motown.
Wow.
But the impact that she had all those years ago is still felt today.
Absolutely.
You know, and she was just a
Absolutely.
Wonderful, wonderful talent. You know, for her to do as much as she did in her short life says a great deal about her. You know, she was just one of those exceptionally rare breeds that I put it like this. This is what Berry Gordy said about Levi Stubbs at his funeral. And this line stuck with me, and I can relate this to Tammy Terrell. He said about Levi, a Levi Stubbs doesn't come along once ever so often. A Levi Stubbs doesn't come along once a generation. A Levi Stubbs doesn't come along once a lifetime. A Levi Stubbs comes only once, period. And I feel the same way about Tammy Terrell.
Right.
A Tammy Terrell, we will never be blessed with someone like that ever again. I mean,
right.
she was a force of nature. I mean, she was the one that pushed Marvin and inspired Marvin to go beyond what he even thought was possible.
Wow.
And the thing that gets me are the songs that she was able to record. This is what we're talking about, a woman who, by the time she was 24, which is the age she passed away, had 8 brain surgeries.
Wow.
Now,
if
you want to put that in perspective, let's put a timetable on this thing. This is a woman who had 8 brain surgeries in 3 years. Because she had her first surgery in 1967. And she had her last surgery in January of 1970. So we're talking 8 brain surgeries in the span of about 3 years. So, and the amazing thing about it was her ability to continue to record after the brain surgeries. I think, I want to say, and I have to go back and check it out to be sure, but I think it was maybe Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing. May have been the first song she recorded after the first brain surgery.
What?
Now, I believe it was one of the big hits, and I believe that was the one.
Hmm.
It was either, yeah, I think that was the one. But, I mean, just, and then the album that she recorded, because she recorded an entire album after her sixth surgery.
Wow,
and
man.
She barely had enough energy to stand up.
Mm.
But she had enough energy to sing.
Can you imagine, man? You know, it had to be. I mean, you know, to my idea, there is a certain transparency. I mean, even like it was difficult for me because I was like a teenager. Whenever Ain't No Mountain High, No River Wide, and you know, I was a teenager when that was out, and Pride Joe and all of that. We did the what you call the calypso, the cha cha cha, whatever you want to call it, there in Texas, little town I was raised in. And you know, you fell in love because I was starved for culture because I was raised in the country, and a lot of people wonder why don't I like country music. I was fed a continuous diet of country music from the time I was born until the time I was probably 14 or so years old, and I was I always wanted to hear. And the only time when I get a chance to go to the Metro or pick up Randy's Record Shop, I don't know if you've heard of that, but some of that stuff coming out of Louisiana, Memphis 10, once in a while at late at night on a it's this stuff you don't know about, but on a transistor radio. you could listen to something. You know, I was raised by church-going grandmother and great-grandmother, so, it wasn't a whole bunch of opportunity for me to hear anything, But the point of it is that we had what you call, the cafes, where the youth gathered back in the day.
Right.
And they had the jukebox, and so you put the whatever it was, dime, quarter, whatever it was at that time. And, I fell in love with If This World Were Mine, all this different kind of stuff, Tim and Marvin. And to hear, when she passed away, it literally was like one of your relatives passing away.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It was just like, wow, it really, you could feel it. And there was a certain, to me, a transference of their soul to my ears that and still to this day impacts me that way. I'm not as into, there are some rock songs that I may like or some rap, but you know what I'm saying? That music that's just laid down, that ballad stuff, that real, it's I don't know if it's sensual, but it has a calming effect on me. Man, that stuff, it just wears me out, man. And those artists, I literally feel them. I mean, and there are certain tunes, even listening to. Go ahead, I'm sorry, bro.
It's the lyrics. I mean,
yeah.
I'll put it to you like this. One of my all-time favorite songs about Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. And Smokey was a great songwriter, wonderful songwriter. But he wrote this song called Here I Go Again.
Ah, okay.
And as with most of Smokey's music, take away the music, take away the vocal arrangement, and you have a poem. to this day, the song is 41 years old, and I can still quote those lyrics to you, like Smokey just recorded them yesterday, when it comes to Here I Go Again. Saw you there, and your laughter seemed to fill the air. A scent like perfume through your lovely hair, a scent that I do adore. My heart said to me, don't walk head on into misery. With your eyes wide open, can't you see a hurt's in store just like before? But here I go again. walking into love. Here I go, never thinking of dangers that might exist, disregarding all of this just for you. I mean, that's a poem.
It's pointed, it's timeless.
Exactly.
You know, the same emotions that it stirred then, it stirs today with different generations.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you know, everybody knows Ooh, Baby, Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Tracks of My Tears.
Right, right.
Tears of a Clown. Or you know, when it comes to Marvin Gaye, and I'm going back, everybody knows what's going on, but if you remember the 60s, Little Darling, I Need You. Or Pride and Joy, or You, or Chained, or Try It, Babe. These are all songs that Marvin and The Temptations, My Girl.
Right.
I could never love another after loving you. I Wish It Would Rain. I mean, these songs, today, you play them, and elementary school kids are singing these songs. Why is that? Because when I was in elementary school, I was singing these songs. And the generation before me, which was a generation removed from these songs, they were singing them because they came up in a time when you could have a song like My Girl or My Guy or Shop Around or whatever, well, Baby, I Need You Loving, I Can't Help Myself, where you could go to school the next day and recite the lyrics and not get in trouble for reciting the lyrics.
Right.
Well,
right.
Well, you try that. You try reciting one of these rap lyrics today, saying that or calling a woman that in singing this song, and see, A,
right.
If the young lady won't slap you.
Right.
Or B, if you won't get in trouble while singing this song in school. You know.
Right, right.
And Motown, so go ahead.
No, I was just, what I was going to say, well, you know what, so you're doing a whiplash on me. You'll take me back and then you bring me forward with the rap and all, and I'm liking that. I appreciate it, bro, and I really respect it. And, you know, I look forward to every time I get a chance to visit with you about this. But, you know, let me do something right quick. Hold your thought. Don't lose your thought, okay?
Okay.
I gotta do this right quick. In the chat room, I want to say I'm so grateful and appreciative to D-Rock in Your World and my dear sis, Miss India DeClaire, and Miss Quiet Storm and Miss Navazor. And I've been knowing Miss Quiet Storm for quite a good bit, and I've just been fortunate enough to have met Miss D-Rock in Your World and dear sis, India DeClaire and Miss Navazor. But I wanted to throw this out there, brother, because it's 20 minutes past 8 right now, about 8:20, 40 before 9 right here on the I almost said the quiet right here on the Black Ice and Friends, the next phase. But Miss Quiet Storm is www.blogtalkradio.com/Miss Quiet Storm every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., and I'm sure that's Central Standard Time. And every Saturday night at 9 p.m., every fourth Sunday at 5 p.m., and, oh, PST, all times of PST, so that's Pacific Standard Time. So 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time every Saturday, and every Saturday night is 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and every fourth Sunday at 5 p.m., and that's Pacific Standard Time. And sis Navazor dropped in here by Miss Janice Graham. That's who I was trying to suggest. And that's the lady OCG, and her, she's blogtalkradio.com/OCG Janice Graham, 10 p.m. Saturday, Eastern Standard Time. And my dear sis, Navazor, she's on Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And and dear sister India DeClaire, she's on daily at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, which would be 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's Monday through Saturdays. And these are all wonderful, wonderful show hosts. And they have a tremendous amount of information, insight, entertainment quality, and just tremendous, and I really appreciate being associated to any degree with them. And I'm really thankful to them for them visiting and the room. And Ms. Rock in your world is she works with youth, and I'm really grateful for her. She is a wonderful person. I just got a listen upfront, Blunt, as I'm listening. You know, and may I say this, Sister Upfront and Blunt is also Sister Rabia, and hopefully I'm going to ask you if you're listening. You coming back on? And Brother T.L., you know your time's good. Anything we will make it up, double time, whatever you want to do. So don't worry, okay? You with me? Brother T.L.?
Sure. Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, bro. Oh, no, he got mad at me.
Not at all. But let me just take this moment to say hello to everybody in the chat room. I hope you all are doing well, and I hope you all are enjoying the show.
Hey, thank you, brother. Appreciate it. I'm going to do this, and then I'll get right back. But Sister Upfront Blunt, I got to give a big shout-out to her as well as the other sisters that I know. And I've invited brother after brother after brother, sister after sister after sister, and y'all are welcome. If you know me or if you've seen me online, you know where I hang out, you guys. I don't mention that for different reasons, but, you know. And if just holler, I mean, I promise you, whatever we want to do, we do. But you know, there are certain guests that I just have an affinity for because I've known them, I guess, long. And I would love to have Sister India or either Sister Navazo or Miss Quiet Storm to come on at any time they chose to. I want to let y'all know that you're very welcome anytime to come on, and I really would appreciate having you here. But Sister Upfront and Blunt has a women's shelter. I don't know what you might. It's a program that provides support for single mothers, and it's called SMART. Single mothers are really trying. And put the email address so that people can get information. I'm sorry. You know, I always forget that email address. I think it's, there it is, SMART, smart to change, SMART to CHANGE at yahoo.com. I know, it's always a problem for some reason getting into the chat room, and I'll be checking with the Block Talk Radio and see if we can't work out whatever these wrinkles and issues are up front, Blunt. No problem. Smart to change at yahoo.com. And with that, Brother T.L. Harris, 25 minutes past 8 and 8:25 p.m. right here in Texas Central Standard Time. Brother, let me let you rock the house for the last 5 minutes. And you know that, can we do it again, brother? I want to get
Absolutely.
A commitment from you.
Okay. No problem at all.
You rock the house. And thanks, everybody, for joining us. But Brother T.L. Harris, I'm going to let you close it out. Go as far as you want to go, brother.
Well, first of all, I want to, once again, thank you for having me on your show and allowing me
my pleasure, my humble pleasure
to do this. And I guess the main thing I would like to say is for people in my generation and the generation that's following me, like I said, I know some very smart, intelligent people. Like I said, the young lady I mentioned from Mississippi, her name is Amanda Sperling. Extremely sharp young lady, the young man in Oregon, Colton Thomas, extremely sharp individual. And there are lots of us. His brother in Chicago, he was a couple of years ago, he's a very young guy. His name is James Newborn, one of the best blues experts I've come across ever. And what I'm saying is, there's a generation of us that are doing our best to try to keep the knowledge of this history going, because I was talking to Weldon some time ago, and in the last 5 years, we work at Motown, we work at Philly International, Gambling Hub. Mm-hmm. And over the last 5 years, so many of his friends have been passing away. a lot of names that a lot of people do know, and some that very few know, but had a huge impact in the music industry altogether. And they are leaving at such an alarming rate. And what we're doing is losing an opportunity to collect the knowledge from these guys so that when they are gone, people like myself, and as I said, people like Amanda in Mississippi, and people in Oregon like Colton, can keep this thing going. And
right,
my team
right.
in Chicago, you know, because at some point, if it hasn't been already, the baton is going to be passed to us.
Right.
You know, so, and let me also say this. I think it's wonderful that people mention Marvin Gaye. I think it's wonderful that people mention Donny Hathaway. I think it's wonderful that people mention, you know, because a lot of the neo-soul artists, you know, those would be the first artists they mention. Maybe a Minnie Riperton and the Temptations, of course. But the reason I say that is because there's more to black music than Marvin, Donny, Temps, and people of that nature. There's a Wilson Pickett.
Hey.
There's a Joe
yeah.
Tex.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an O.B. Wright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You're going to have to come back. I'm not going to let you do all that.
I'm saying that because you only hear one side of it. And that's considered Northern Soul. But again, what I grew up on, and I think I talked about this or touched on it briefly on the previous show. The guy,
right.
before I go any further, happy birthday, Ray Charles. Today would have been his 80th birthday, I believe. So,
hey, dude, let me tell you what. We got like, what, probably 30 seconds, and you got to come back. See, you left it hanging. I'm gonna leave it right there where you are. So you mark that where you were, okay?
All right. All right, we'll do that.
But, hey, T.L., thank you, man. You know, I'm very, very grateful to you for, brother, you do a beautiful job, and I want to encourage you, you know, one text to another, and I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful again. Let me mention D-Rocky World, guest 4530, India Declare, Navazar, and Miss Quiet Storm, and thank you all up front and blunt out there in the chat room also. And brother T.L., we'll catch you on the other side, all right?
All right, thank you once again. Take care.
I'll talk to you in a little bit. Peace and blessings, and thank you all. God bless you and your families, and hopefully we'll see you next week, Thursday, 7 or 8:30 p.m. right here on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Hope you enjoyed it. We enjoyed having you here.
All right.